right. So we have been making our way through the book of Acts together. And we just finished up chapter one of Acts, and we saw what God wants for us as his people, his followers, his church, the true believers of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be united together. He wants us to know that he has a plan for us individually and together as a church. As we talked about our God, as we sang about our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, God loves us so deeply that he has given to his church, his people, a mission on this earth, not just simply to be saved and then to be happy and joyful that we have eternity with God. Yes, of course, that is it, but he saves us for a purpose. And so we've been learning about how the early church and the early believers have learned or are learning to live out their faith actively. We saw a devotion to prayer. We saw a devotion to scripture, and ultimately a devotion to Jesus Christ himself. And so the apostles and the followers, where they're at now when we get into chapter 2, is they're awaiting the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has promised it to them, and then he ascended back into heaven. And so they await as they pray together. And as we'll see in today's passage, the Holy Spirit does so much that through the Holy Spirit, we can be reconnected to God, to one another through him. So I hope that we'll be encouraged through today's message, because guess what? For every single one of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, we are given the Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit, and we're going to learn just what it means that we can reconnect through the Holy Spirit together today. Let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13 together. And this is the word of God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" Let's pray together. God, would you open up our hearts to your word? I pray that every single one of us will be moved by your Spirit today, that for those of us who are believers, we'd be reminded of the connection that you reestablished through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, today to be encouraged, empowered, excited to work for your glory, to be a part of your kingdom work, to do what you have called us to do. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So today's message is titled Reconnecting Through the Spirit. And so you might be wondering what Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit has to do with this idea of reconnection, or more so, who or what are we reconnecting with? And so before we get into this passage, I think it's always important to remember the redemptive story of the gospel that we see from Genesis to Revelation. Now, if we can get to the next slide, we'll see there's four divisions, if you will, that we see throughout the Bible. Now, this is something that I think is very important. Some people want to think of you know, the Old Testament as its own thing and the New Testament as its own thing. But I believe that the Bible is a grand narrative of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. And it works at this God creating the world and then the fall and sin entering into the world. And then through Christ, the redemption and now the restoration that occurs is happening by God's grace. So God created the world and everything in it. He made humanity his most special creation in his own image. And there was a good and right relationship, a good and right connection between Adam and Eve with God. They walked in peace, love, harmony, joy in the Garden of Eden. But we know that the fall happened, right? Adam and Eve, they disobey God and sin and brokenness enter into the world. Death enters into the world. And so what sin did was it destroyed that right connection. It did something. It broke that connection that humanity shared with God, that intimate personal relationship. But as we know, God in his grace, he did not crush humanity. Instead, he had a plan already in place, a sovereign plan that he himself would enter into human history through the Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where the redemption happens as Jesus gives his life for us upon the cross. And so what does he do? He comes to make a way back to the Father, to God. The connection that had been broken, Jesus came to help bridge that gap through his death upon the cross, through himself. John chapter 14, verse 6-7 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you see, he's wanting to reestablish the connection that was broken because of sin. So Jesus dies on the cross that whoever believes in him will be forgiven, be made new, and be able to reconnect with God. And how is that possible? Because the sin in us is defeated. The death that holds us is no longer able to have any power over us because Jesus Christ not only died upon the cross, he was resurrected. And in his resurrected state, he meets his followers and lets them know about this promise of the Holy Spirit to come, the Holy Spirit that would kind of, in one sense, complete this reconnection. Reestablish the connection that was lost between humanity and God because of sin. Now the Holy Spirit is who they await. And I want to remind us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember what Jesus said. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So a reminder for us as the people of God, a reminder that we are part of this grand story, this redemptive story from Genesis to Revelation, and that we in our place right now in human history are part of what God's story is unfolding, his sovereign plan as it unfolds. And we now have a purpose as believers of Jesus Christ, as a church, as CCCDC, God has a plan for us through our church to do his kingdom work. And I think sometimes we need a reminder of that. We need a reminder that God has given to his people a purpose, and he's reestablished this relationship with himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, as we're gonna get to learn together today. So how does he reconnect us? Through Christ and through the Holy Spirit. But who does he reconnect us with? We're gonna look at two things today. He reconnects us with God, so he reconnects us with himself through the Holy Spirit. And remember, God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we see the Trinity at work together in this redemptive plan throughout human history. And secondly, to reconnect with one another. So let's go ahead and start with that first point, reconnecting with God. So let's go ahead and set the stage here. Before we really dive into, we want to know what's happening here, right? So the setting of this event is on the day of Pentecost, okay? Now, Pentecost is a New Testament name for the Jewish celebration called the Feast of Weeks. Okay. It was when the wheat harvest was celebrated on the 50th day after the Passover. So Jewish people who had been dispersed to other lands, other countries, Jewish people who had become believers of Jesus Christ, even Gentiles who had converted to Judaism, pretty much all Jewish people came together to celebrate this event. So that's where we are. So many different people gathered together back on this day of Pentecost. And we know that there are 120 disciples, followers of God, among them the 12 apostles, but they are praying, right? They're waiting together in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus made to them before he ascended back into heaven. So let's go ahead and read verses 1-3 again. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now, firstly, just as we think about this, what an just amazing picture of what's happening, right? There's a rushing wind and then fire, and now individual tongues, you know, of fire appearing and resting on each one of them. I mean, it's an incredible thing that's happening. I mean, we knew Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know what it would look like, what it would feel like, how it would be. But here it is, the promise of God, the promise of Jesus Christ happening as the Holy Spirit comes. Now, the wind and the fire, they are common examples that refer to God, that refer to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, an interesting thing to note is that in the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, and the Hebrew word ruach, words for the spirit, they're also, in a sense, interchangeable with wind or breath. So it's reminding us, even taking us back to Genesis, when the wind, right, it's over the waters. There's this idea that the powerful presence of God is there in that room, in that building with them. It's about his presence. Some other examples, remember that God appears to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus. Remember that God used a pillar of fire to guide the Israelites and also to keep them warm in the desert as they wandered. And finally, remember that John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize in fire. He was baptizing with water, but there's someone that would come after him, the Messiah, who will come and baptize in fire. And so look what's happening now. There is the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit upon the followers of Jesus Christ. So the gift of the Spirit comes in the midst of their devotion to prayer and scripture, and it's amazing. It's an awesome thing that we see occurring. So God himself come to be with the believers both now and forever. You see, God always making his way to help us, making his way in his grace so that we can be reconnected with him. And so through the Holy Spirit, we can reconnect with God. And I want us to pay attention to something here because it's so important to look at, right? See, the tongues divide and they sit over each individual. And I think that there's a very significant reason for this division of fires individually going to each follower and resting over them. In the old covenant that God had made with his people Israel, worship had always been localized both in Israel and also in the temple. But remember that God, he didn't want to be about geography. He wanted to show us that there's something new happening here, that each individual believer, it wasn't about where or how, but in their hearts, would they worship in spirit and in truth, and that in fact, every single believer would now become the temple of God, the very place where the Holy Spirit resides. I mean, think about reconnection with God. He literally comes into the world, into human history through Jesus Christ, and now into our lives, his presence with us and for us forever and ever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, look what it says. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So reconnection with God means understanding, realizing, remembering what that means for us, that we are no longer our own. Our lives are no longer about ourselves. Now we live for the glory of God. We're reconnected with God through the Holy Spirit. It's about our hearts, what he does there, not outward action, outward behavior, but inside. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, this is fulfillment of what was said. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. There is a personal reconnection for every believer who is saved by grace through faith, who is given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we accepted Jesus Christ, for those of us who are here, there wasn't tongues of fire over our heads, but the promise was and is real for us as well, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we have his love written on our hearts, then we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been reconnected with God through the Holy Spirit. You see, there's something significant, again, about that individual connection that we have with God through the Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the veil was torn. That division between us and God, it was torn so that we could be reconnected with him. On a personal level, now we can worship him wherever, whenever we want. We can lift up prayers and communicate with God whenever and wherever we want. You see, there is something awesome through the power of the Holy Spirit, a reminder that it's no longer just a few people that were designated, such as prophets or kings, to communicate with the God Almighty. But now every individual is able to experience an intimacy with God through Christ that was never available before. This reconnection to God through the Holy Spirit, we have that. Does that not get you excited about your walk of faith? Does that not get you just kind of fired up that God, his presence is with you? You have a connection with God. He has done it through Christ. And now as we see the Holy Spirit coming as a personal relationship, reconnection with him through the Holy Spirit. This is the beautiful grace of our God. I hope and pray that we will sing praises to him more, that we will thank him for all that he has done. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, working together by his grace, God himself. So I want to ask you this question, and I feel just reminded and encouraged for myself that the Holy Spirit is with me. I have a connection with God. I want to ask you, have you been reconnected with God through the Holy Spirit? Have you personally reconnected with God? It's only possible by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he defeated death and sin, and he gives the promise of the Holy Spirit for those who believe. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're connected now with God in a deep personal way. Please, please, please never forget that he is there for you. That the Holy Spirit allows for us to go to him whenever we need, that the Holy Spirit guides us always back to his law, to his word, to his love. The God of the universe cared enough for us to make his way not only into the world through the Son, Jesus Christ, but truly into our hearts, into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now his presence is with us both now and forever. Isn't that awesome? Amen. What a good, awesome, gracious picture of our God as through the Spirit, he reconnects us to himself. So remember, let's pray, let's praise him, let's be in scripture, let's be devoted to our Lord and Savior. Second thing is this, reconnect with one another. So reconnect with God through the Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit, through him, we can reconnect with one another in a deep and profound way. Verses 4 through 13. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? So we'll stop there for a moment. So as we have been learning together, our relationship with God, this reconnection with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and now this power, this gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not just for individual reconnection with God. It doesn't just stop there with our relationship with God. Somehow, some miraculous way, those who place their faith in Jesus Christ, by grace through faith, they have been saved, but we have also been all given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that actually unites us together. It reconnects us to one another. You see, even in the human relationships in humanity, when sin entered into the world and brokenness entered into the world, you have to understand that not only was our relationship with God broken, but the relationship how we treated one another was the same. There was brokenness, things that came between us so that we could not have fellowship and harmony and peace together. But for those who accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says this, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. You see, this is a reconnection of a magnitude that can only be done through God, through the Holy Spirit. You see, it doesn't matter if you were a Jew or a Greek or slave or free. All were able and given this opportunity, this invitation to reconnect with God and therefore connect to one another through the power, through the love of the Holy Spirit. And when we remember the grand redemptive story in the Bible, see, there's some great things that we can pick up here. Where we're at together in Pentecost, as we have people from all over the lands hearing the gospel being preached in their own voice, understanding, being able to hear the communication of God in their own tongue, it actually highlights and brings about something that's so awesome and so clear to see. You see, the miraculous speaking in tongues, it shows us that there's a connection even back to the very beginning in Genesis. Now, back in Genesis chapter 11 in the Tower of Babel, what happened? And I've talked about this before because it's so important, because there's always connections. It's not separate stories that have nothing to do with each other. Yes, each one can stand alone in the sense that we can learn from it, learn godly principles, biblical principles, but all of it, when we see it together connected, is such an awesome thing. So what happened at the Tower of Babel? Because of the sin and the pride of the people, they were punished, right? They became unable to understand one another, unable to communicate with one another. You see, they were building this tower and they had in their minds, we're going to be as high up as God. We don't need God. We are great. We as humanity can achieve all things, even to the point of being God ourselves. And so God stopped them. He stopped their sinfulness. He stopped them in their tracks so that they could not work on this tower any longer. Not because he was afraid that those, you know, the people would reach him. Remember, in fact, when you look back in Genesis 11, at the height of their tower being built, it says God came down. They weren't close. In their pride, maybe they thought they were reaching certain heights, even to be as God himself. That was how prideful they were. But God cannot be reached by humanity in our own power, in our own strength, in our own ability. No matter how brilliant we may think we are, no matter how awesome we may think we are, how strong we may think we are, we need God. And so the people, they were confused in their language. They were unable to finish this tower because they couldn't understand each other. Communication was broken. There was a curse, a division that occurred because of the pride of the people. And so here, as we look in Acts chapter 2, what I believe that we're seeing is that the Holy Spirit, God himself in his redemptive plan, he's reconnecting us all together once again. But we are not going to be reconnected not to build a tower that builds ourselves up or glorifies ourselves. No, we are building together, connecting together, reconnecting to be the building body of Christ. Each of us, the temple of the Holy Spirit, but together being the church. And we're going to build up one another together to take part in the mission, not to build our own glory and say we are great, but to build God's glory and say you are great, Lord. You see, he's reconnecting us together for a purpose, reminding us that the Tower of Babel, there was a curse, but here through God, through salvation, through the Holy Spirit, there is a reversal of that curse. And so the truth of God is being proclaimed in their own native tongues. So remember, again, this is possible because it is the Feast of Weeks. It's Pentecost. Jews, as well as Gentiles who believed in God, were present from all over. Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. They're all there. And they're hearing the disciples, the followers of Jesus, sharing about God. See, God was reconnecting people to one another, reminding them of who he is, now giving us a purpose through faith in Jesus Christ. So we reconnect with God. But my goodness, what an awesome gift. Through the Holy Spirit, we can reconnect with one another. It doesn't matter what our culture is, our ethnicity is, what our race is. Those are not the top identity markers that we have in our lives. No, no. The top identity is our place as people of God, children of God. And that is first and foremost. If there's any teaching saying that something else is higher than our identity in Christ as believers, take a step back. Jesus gives us purpose through our faith, mission that will reach every person, every nation, so that this invitation will be made so apparent and visible and audible. Salvation and our life's purpose is not connected with any single race, nation, culture, language. No, it's in Christ as children of God. Verse 11 makes it clear. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. What an awesome thing. You see, God, what was he sharing with them? What was he? The mighty works of God. Jesus Christ come into the world, crucified, dead, and buried, and risen again, resurrected. The mighty works of God from Genesis up to where they are in human history. We get to see all of that and then some through the scripture that he's given to us. And now we are reconnected to build the glory of God, to build up his church, to support one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to rebuke one another in love. But ultimately that God will be glorified, not in just our own lives, but also through our church. CCC, do we have this reconnection to one another? It starts with our reconnection with God, our relationship with God, and then our relationship with one another, our purpose in Christ, in God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's work together as a church to build up God's glory, reconnected together to one another for the purposes of Jesus Christ, the purposes of the gospel. Let's continue to meet in fellowship. Let's continue to meet together in Sunday school. Let's continue to meet together in worship, fellowship, in every way, just meeting together as families so that we can grow together. Amen. Now, before we close, I do want to address something that can sometimes trigger arguments or debates or even division within the church, the very thing that God sent the Holy Spirit to undo. You know, when it comes to the gift of speaking in tongues, I think we have to acknowledge that it is a spiritual gifting. Now, I'll keep it very simple. There are some who believe you must have this gift of tongues to be saved. This is unfounded and unbiblical. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be able to speak in tongues or have to have the gift of speaking in tongues in order to be saved. Remember that this is a very special anointed event in human history that Jesus told them would come. So again, you do not need to have any specific gift of the Holy Spirit to be saved. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent, turn away from your sin, but it's by grace through faith. It's the gift of God. So I just wanted to say first, you do not need to have the gift of tongues in order to be saved. Now, there are others who believe that there are no more gifts such as the gift of tongues in the present day church. They're who you would call cessationalists. But again, I've shared, I have experienced this gift, the spiritual gift of tongues myself, and I've seen others in different countries and speaking in tongues, and I've even heard of testimonies of God working through the Spirit to give a believer the words to say in someone else's native tongue that they themselves did not know until that very moment in order to tell them what God wants to speak to them. So there is a gift, a spiritual gift, I believe, that is still continuing on in terms of the gift of tongues, where it's a literal language at times where God will provide. But there's also a different gifting of tongues that are not literally other languages, but more like what I would say are spiritual utterances, which help the believer to grow in their own prayer lives and to be able to pray for the church and to pray for others. So again, to review, I believe that the gift of tongues continues, that it does exist, but it is not necessary for salvation. And if someone has the gift, it should always be used to benefit and build up the body of Christ, not to raise yourself to say, look at this gift I have, but instead to point to God and say, I want to build up the church. I want to be a blessing to those around me. So the proper perspective in the end, ultimately, is to allow God to give whatever gifts that he would give within the body of Christ, and for us to learn to enjoy them and glorify God with the gift that he's given to us. So I felt like I had to at least mention this before we close, because I know that that's a question that comes up very often. So let's get back to the message of the mighty works of God. By the grace of Jesus Christ through faith in him, those who believe have been given the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit reconnects us with God the Father. He enables us to be always in his presence. He is with us, and we can communicate with God at all times. The Holy Spirit guides us, gives us discernment, always leads us back to the Word so that we can follow him and stay connected. Now, let me say this. When we are reconnected with God by grace through faith, when we are saved, it's the salvation that reconnects us with him through the Spirit, right? So, in fact, it cannot become severed in the way that it once was when sin entered into the world, because you are a child of God, period, saved by God's grace, both now and forevermore. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. God will never leave you. Once you are his, you're in his love forever. So what can we do? We have to be reminded of the connection that we have, reminded of what it took for us to be reconnected with God and to one another, and live in light of that. The more we understand and are conscious of the gospel, the good news that is being spoken in so many different tongues here at Pentecost, remember that good and mighty works of God through his son, Jesus Christ, and let that be the center of how you live your life. Let that be the center of how our church lives our lives and what we do together as a church, living out the mission of God, building up God's glory. Now, there is one thing, one more time to say. The reality is that people were there and they heard the mighty works of Jesus being preached in their own tongue. But some actually in verse 13 says, oh, they're just filled with new wine. Now that is a reminder that as we live our lives, as we share the good works of Christ, as we invite people to become reconnected with God and therefore to one another, there will be people who choose not to believe. There will be people who choose not to be reconnected, but to stay severed in their relationship with God. But unless they reconnect with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, then they will be severed for eternity. But this is a reminder. Check our hearts. Have even more urgency to share the gospel, to pray for those who do not know the Lord, so that they can experience a reconnection with God through the Holy Spirit, and that they would enter into this unity that we have, this greater purpose that we have as we reconnect with one another, those of us who believe. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for who you are, that you had this plan in place, God, that you in your grace always come to meet us, Lord. Thank you that we can reconnect with you through the Spirit. Thank you that we are connected now to one another for those who believe through that same Spirit. Help us to live for you individually, every day, personally growing in our relationship with you, but also help us every day to, as we're reconnected with one another, as we're united together for one purpose, that our church, the CCC, who you have called us to be, what you are wanting for us to do as a church, especially together here, this English congregation, show us, move in us, help us to discern. Help me as I lead to be serving always you and the church. Give us guidance by your Spirit. We need you, Lord. Thank you for the reconnection that we experience by your grace. Lord, empower us, be with us. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll now close with a song of response as we worship and praise.